Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be with you guys. My name is Paul. I'm one of the campus pastors here at New Philly Sydney. If this is your first or second time, or your third, or your fourth, but to all of you, I just want to give you a welcome. I'm glad you guys are here with us today. We're going through a sermon series on the Psalms, and this is our third message in this series. I'm really excited for this entire series and for today's message. You know, the Psalms are the worship and prayer book of God's people for all times and generations. And I love the Psalms. There's a Psalm for every season of life. Whatever you're going through today, there's a Psalm for you. There's a Psalm that meets you where you are. And today, I wanted to look at Psalm 19. And as you guys are turning there in your Bibles, you know, C.S. Lewis said of Psalm 19, he said, "This is the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world." And C.S. Lewis read a lot of poetry and just a lot, period. And it really is a beautiful work of poetry. But the theology of the psalm is just as powerful as the lyrics. And so I'm excited. Let's turn to Psalm 19. We'll read the whole psalm, 14 verses. I'm reading in the ESV. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." This is God's word. Have you guys ever gone through your day? Maybe some of you guys, you work a desk job. You're sitting inside all day, air conditioned or cold or whatever. But you just go through your day and you just feel like, I just need to get outside right now and I just need to get some sun. I just need a little break. You know, there's something about the sun with its heat and its light, its warmth, it restores us. It gives us new life. It kind of heals us from that, you know, just what we've been just going through, the hard, long days grind and that work. And, you know, we need the sun to survive. You know, scientists, they say that without the sun, life would not exist on this planet. And we all know that. Personally, we need the sun. It's good to get out in the sun. The sun, it restores our spirits. It restores us physically. And, you know, often as we go through life, we face a lot of pressures from the daily grind. We face a lot of stresses and anxieties and all the hundreds of decisions and cares that we need to be thinking about and we need to make. And this psalm, Psalm 19, it says, God is the sun that you need in your life. It says, God is the sun that restores you, because so many of us, our hearts go astray. We become just out of tune, just facing all the things that come at us in life. And what you need most in your life is to see God. What you need most out of anything in your life is to know and to see God in all his beauty, in all his glory, shining in his full splendor. That's what we need. But how do we see God? Or to put it another way, how does God reveal himself? Because this psalm says there's different ways of getting to know God. And some ways are better than others. You know, it's like We're all familiar because when you get to know a person, there's different ways that you can get to know a person. And it's limited the way we can know someone by the ways that they choose to reveal themselves. If a person is very open, they're like, their heart is like all just glass windows and so transparent. You can just see right into, you feel like you can get to know them really quickly. They're just very open and you just get, I just know this person. You may not even spend a lot of time with them. There are other people who are maybe a little more guarded. It's a little harder to get to know and it takes more time. But it all depends on what a person chooses to reveal about themselves. And it also depends on the way, what you're actually hearing them share and what you're hearing them say. Because, you know, you can get to know a person through their Instagram, okay? I recently joined Instagram. It's pretty cool, right? I was missing out all this time. But, you know, you can get to know a person a little bit through their Instagram, right? Like, they post up all these photos. You get to know, like, what their just sense of beauty is and what they care about and what they're posting. But you see, it's actually limited the amount of depth you can get to know the person, right? You're not like, oh, I follow this person on Instagram. I know them, you know, like they're like, no, you know them a little bit in that way through their photos. But you get to know a person much more beyond just the images that they project. Especially when you have a conversation with them, when you hear the words that we're always revealing who we are. We're constantly communicating about ourselves through our actions, through our body language, through our facial expressions, but ever more so through our words and through our conversation. That's how we get to know one another. And you see, the psalm says we need to know God as for our lives as much as we need the sun, as this planet, all life needs the sun. But you see, how do we get to know God? The question is, how has God chosen to reveal himself? You see, many of us, we first came to church, or maybe some of us, you're here today. You've become awakened. You have this sense like, I need God. I need something more in my life. I need something beyond what I'm just facing and going through day to day. And I feel this need for God. But the question is, how do you get to know God? That's what this psalm is about. And, you know, we're going to see that it moves through, it climaxes towards the end, but we start at the beginning, the first six verses. It says, the first way we get to know God is through his creation. It's through nature. Verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, God reveals himself through what he has made. Because God is an artist. And any artist knows that like the art you produce, it reveals something about who you are, right? That's why some artists, they're a little bit shy. You know, once you put your artwork out there, it's like, oh, any eyes can look at it and give their evaluation. You know, it's a little bit, because it's revealing about who you are. You see, in the same way, you know, actually, I just started going on Instagram, just started posting a little bit, and I'm like so conscious, like, oh, like, what photo do I put? You know, how do I, like, they're totally going to see what my aesthetic sense is and what, you know, all this stuff. Anyways, like, it's, you know, our artwork, it reveals what we produce. Right? In the same way, God is an amazing artist. He's a beautiful artist. And if we look at the world, we look at the stars, the sun, nature, the mountains, the sky, it's declaring that God, this is who God is. But what is the message that creation is saying? It's saying, see, it says there, verse 1, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. The creation, nature, it reveals God's glory. It reveals God's splendor. It reveals his power and his majesty. And, you know, I love how God speaks through nature. His voice through nature goes out to all the world. And he invites us to enjoy his beauty, his beautiful artwork. It's beautiful, right? Like sometimes we just need to get away from the grind and we just want to enjoy nature. Why does it feel so good just to look at a sunset over the ocean or just from a view from the mountain cliffs or just there's a beauty in nature that is so much more beautiful than a lot of things that the hands of man are able to create. You know, God is a beautiful artist. He's a beautiful creator. And he invites us to enjoy it. He invites us to explore it. Right? All that he has made, That's what photographers do. That's what filmmakers do. That's what storytellers do. That's what preachers do. That's what artists do. We take what God has made, we explore it, we observe it, and then we try to express it in, through our own hearts, through our own, through whatever we're doing. And you know, God's artwork is so beautiful that all the people in this world can spend all their lives for all generations, and we will never exhaust. We will barely scrape the surface of the beauty, the glory, the majesty of God. His glory is that great. It's so vast, so infinite. And he invites us to explore the endless creativity, the endless variety, the endless beauty. And you know, it says here in this psalm that everybody knows God on this level. You see, it says, like verse 3 and 4, it says, their voice of nature goes out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. That means every single person who has ever lived and is alive today knows God through this way. You know, there are some people who say today, oh, well, I'm an atheist. I'm a philosophical atheist. I don't believe in the existence of God. You know, and what the scripture is saying here is, you know, they may say that. They may consciously not believe in a God. But deep down inside, every person knows when they see this universe, when they see this world, it's speaking to them. It's speaking to all of us, saying, do you know that an amazing God created all this? A God of such power and creativity and beauty and glory. And we may try to stop our ears. We may be like that child who's like, I can't hear you, you know, saying all that stuff, but it's coming through. The message is coming through the creation. I got to quote an old dead guy, but the poet named Joseph Addison, he said this, he wrote this about this psalm. He says, all of creation, in our ears, they will rejoice and utter forth a glorious voice, forever singing as they shine, the hand that made us is divine. All of creation is saying, the hands that made us, it's not the work of any man, it's not the work of any... There is a divine creator behind us, all that we see. And it's beautiful. But you see, it's not enough. That's what the psalm is saying. Because the voice of God, the word of God that comes through nature, that comes through creation, it's limited. Right? We can know that there is a God, and we can know that he's powerful, and he's glorious, and he's beautiful. But it's limited because it's like... The limit, it's limited how much you can get to know a person just through their Instagram, right? That's why they write captions. You know, words help explain, but it's limited to what we can get to know. Just like when you watch a person and you only see their body language, but you never actually have a conversation, it's limited how much you can get to know them. You know, one of my weaknesses is lip reading, and I am not very good at decoding, like, nonverbal language sometimes. And so some of you guys have noticed, sometimes like I'm up here, I'm leading prayer, I'm giving a message, and someone might be in the audience trying to communicate something to me, like, you know, like, I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying, right? Like, I need words, please. Like, I'm so confused. Hey, that's what creation is like. It's like we get to know something about who God is, and yet it's very limited. It's not enough. See, we need God. We need to see God. We need to know God. And God has revealed himself in this way, but it's not enough. You see, that's why people who only get to know God just through the creation, that's why there's so many different religions out there, so many different philosophies. Some people are like, oh, God is in the wind. God is in the... Okay, like, you know, I can understand why people would have different interpretations, but... This psalm says we need a clearer word from the Lord. We need a clearer revelation from God. You see, nature, it helps us understand something about God, right? When you see the powerful sun, you know, this psalm says the sun is like an Olympic runner going about its course with strength and vigor. It's like a bridegroom on his wedding day morning. You know, no groom on his wedding day is like, oh, you know, the bridegroom is like, I'm getting married. Where's my bride? Where's, you know, the energy and strength and vigor? Excited, right? Right? Where are you? Okay, anyways. It's like the Son is like that. We get to know something about God. We get to know something about His power, His strength, His majesty through the Son. Nature helps us to understand aspects of who God is, but it's not enough. You see, we need to get through to God. We need to know God, but this is not the main way. We need to take a detour. We need to go somewhere else. And here's what the psalm is saying. Verse 7 through 11 is all about God's word that He speaks. And it says, this is how we get to know God a little bit better. Right? So the first way was through nature. The second way is through His word. And you know, one thing you'll notice is this is when you begin to get to know God personally. Not just some, you just know someone's Facebook profile or their Instagram photos. You're actually getting to know God personally. You need to listen to what He's spoken in His word. Because what you'll notice is in the first six verses, what word is used to refer to God? It's only used once in six verses. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. But what about verses 7 through 11? How is God referred to? It says the Lord. And if you notice, it says the Lord in capital, all caps. What does that mean? Does it just mean like the computer? Anytime the word Lord comes out, like all caps? No, that's not what it means. You see, in the Old Testament, sometimes Lord is only capitalized the first letter, but when all of the letters in the word Lord is capitalized, that's the Hebrew word that means Yahweh. It's the personal name of God. It's the covenant name. Okay? So it's no longer this formal God. It's, no, you are my God. You're personal God. You see, my wife's name is Jamie. You know, and I usually will refer to her as Jamie when I'm in public because it's more formal. But, you know, when we're just alone, I almost never call her Jamie. I don't think I ever do. What do I call her? I say, honey. I say, wifey. All right? That's all I'm going to say. I call her other things. But it's more personal, right? Because you have that intimacy, that personal relationship. You know, my nephew, you know, in Korean, the word for uncle, one of the words for uncle is imobu. But he doesn't call me imobu. He calls me imobui. Right? It's like, imobui, right? It's like, yeah, I'm not just any old random dude. I'm imobui, right? Like, it's my nephew. You know, he's got that personal, that intimacy, that affection. Right? See, through nature, we can get to know God as God. He's the creator. He's the almighty being. He's this God who created all things. But through His word, finally, for the first time, we can get to know God personally. And God has revealed Himself as a personal God. He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him, not just to know Him from afar and say, oh, He's powerful, He's majestic. He is not just God, He is the Lord. And you see, it's so important. We need to know God, but we need to know Him as Lord. We need to know Him personally, right? Especially, you know, when like, oh, you when you first awaken, like, oh, I need God. I need God in my life. I'm looking for something more. Sure, you can experience aspects about Him through the world, but have you heard His word? Have you encountered Him through the scriptures, what He's revealed? Right? You got to have a conversation. He's inviting us into His home, into His dining room. He's opening up His heart. He's allowing us to get to know Him personally. Isn't that amazing? That the God who created all things, He's so glorious. He's so beautiful. We just get a glimpse through nature. And yet He says, I want you to get to know Me. I want to get to know you intimately, personally. Not only you can know Me by name, I want to get to know you by name. I want a relationship like that. See, that's who God is. And you say, yeah, we get to know Him through His word. But what do we learn about Him through His word? See, this psalm continues on. It shows us, first, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. You know, I love this. God's word is an expression of himself. Just like a person's words reveal who they are, God's word is an expression of who he is. It expresses his character. Because God is perfect, in him there is no flaw. So his word is flawless. It's perfect. And when we encounter his word speaking to us, it revives our soul. It restores us. See, God's word is powerful. Just like when our hearts are feeling blue or weary, sometimes you just need to go watch a sunset. You just need to go look at some beauty somewhere. Like you just need to open your eyes and see. Same way, when our hearts, we just become beaten and battered and by all that we're going through, what we need is we need to encounter God and his word. And it says, his word is so perfect that it revives, it restores your soul. It restores you. It has that kind of power. You know, so many times, you know, just even myself personally, but how many times throughout the week do our souls become distorted? Sometimes every day, sometimes every hour, by all the pressures, by all the anxieties about the unknown, the future, what's going to happen, all the things that could go wrong, all the people that you have to get back to, all the responsibilities, all the cares, all the things coming at us. You know, just if you just knew like the story of my own soul, in one day, it's just like up and down, up and down. It's like, I'm like, oh, I'm so joyful. And then I'm like, I'm so discouraged. And then I'm so fearful. And then how do I respond to this person? And then, oh, what do I do about this situation? And just like, just all through the day, our hearts get out of tune through life. And it says, the word of God, it tunes our hearts once again back to what we should be, back to what our hearts should be. It revives the soul as we behold God's spotless beauty in his word. There's a power, like the sun shining upon us. There's a power in what it does to us. It heals us. It restores us. We need to know God. We need to know God. But the second thing, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Sure, sure. Making wise the simple. So what's it saying there? It's saying, some of us, we're very simple. Actually, all of us, there are areas in life that we need to learn how to live. See, it says making wise is simple. What is wisdom? Wisdom is learning how to live life skillfully. Do you guys know that it takes skill to know how to live life well? It's like we face so many different situations in life where we need wisdom to know what to do, how to respond. Like, oh, how do I respond to this person? You know, oh, do I talk to this person about this issue? Oh, what should I do here? Should I move into this neighborhood, this home? Should I date this person? Should I take this job? Should I do this, do that? You know, there's so many things in life. It takes wisdom to learn how to live life skillfully. And it says here, the word of God, it's sure, it's been tested. You can trust the word of God that it'll teach you how to live. It'll give you wisdom. See, without it, we're going to do many foolish things, and we're going to experience the consequences, the disasters. Some of us are experiencing that right now, the consequences of foolish choices that we made. And the Word of God says, you need the Word of God here. It's sure, making wise is simple. We're just going to keep going through. I'm going to just cover a few of these, but verse 8, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Some of us are like, the word of God rejoicing, like it brings joy to my heart. I have no idea what that means. It's like the word, the Bible is dry as dust. Like every time I open it, it helps me go to sleep at night. You know? It's like, do you know the word of God? It brings joy to the heart. The word of God is not just true. It's not just a commandment. It's not just authoritative. But it brings joy. So many times in life, we're going through life and our joy is sapped by all the different things we're facing. You need the word of God. It brings joy to your heart. And do you know why? I love it. It says, why does it bring joy? Because it's right. You know, at first, that's kind of hard to understand. You know, like when people who think they're right, it's like they're right. they do not bring us joy most of the time, right? Like, oh, you're just a know-it-all, or you're just, you know, like, just because, what does it mean the Word of God is right? His precepts are right, so it brings joy. Here's what it means. See, how do you know something is crooked? How can you tell? You need a straight edge, right? How do you know an instrument is out of tune? You need a perfect pitch. You need a standard by which to measure if something is crooked, if something is off, if something is out of tune. You see, the Word of God, it reveals life the way it should be. It reveals, it teaches us to live the way we were created to be. The way we were created to live. This is how God designed us. You know, when you buy a new gadget, like, I don't buy many gadgets, but when I do, like, I read the instructions. Why? Because whoever created it knows how it's supposed to work. You see, God created this world. God created life. God created relationships. God created work. God created you and me. God designed everything in this life. And in His Word, He shows us, here is what's right. Here's what's the true design of how you're supposed to live. Don't you see? You've gone out. But and when we encounter that it's right, it brings joy. It says, yes, like, this is who I'm supposed to be. It's the freedom and the joy of finally realizing that we are able to live the way we were designed to be. You know, in the movie Chariots of Fire, I don't want to ask who's watched it because maybe one of you, but you know, it's an old movie. And in that movie, there's an Olympic runner. He's a Christian, but he's going to run in the Olympics. He's going to run like the 200 meter, I don't know, whatever, one of those races. And he's the favorite to go. But, you know, this is what he says. He says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. I feel like this is what I'm created to do. I feel like this is what God made me for. Do you realize, like, when you are living and operating and doing the thing that you feel like you were created to do, that brings so much joy. Have you guys ever experienced that? I experienced that when I played basketball. I'm just kidding, right? Don't laugh. Playing basketball. I know I was created. I'm just kidding, right? I'm so out of tune when I play, out of shape, but when I play basketball. But, you know what I mean? Like, God created us. And when we finally conform to His design for our lives, there's a freedom in there. There's a joy. Some of you guys are like, yeah, that's what, I know what that's like. Finally experiencing that. When we live the way God has created us to live, we feel His pleasure. We experience His joy. See, we need beauty in our lives. We need God's beauty in our lives. We're so desperate. We need His glory. We're made to know and see and experience God's beauty. He's the original beauty from which all beauty in this life, in this world, it comes from. You know, I love how C.S. Lewis puts it. I'm just quoting C.S. Lewis all day. But yeah, C.S. Lewis, he says, the books or the music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trust to them. It was not in them, it only came through them. For they are not the thing itself, they are not the beauty itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a far country we have never visited. See, all the beauty that we come across, experience in this life, it's just an echo of a dim hint of the uncreated beauty, the divine beauty, the glory God. We are made to see God, to enjoy, to experience the wonder, the beauty of who He is. And you see, we get to know God through His Word. He invites us into a personal relationship. And as we get to see, man, just the splendor, the sparkling wisdom and brilliance and beauty of a life that's conformed to His Word, it's like we're finally being set free from all our selfishness and all our self-absorption, all our self-pity, all our fears and anxieties and petty grievances and resentments, all the distortions of soul that we go through all the days of our lives. It's like, no, we were created to be like this, His design. You know, our generation, we are so desperate to live free. I just want to be free. I just want to experience freedom to discover who I am, to become who I am, just to really, I'm on that journey of self-actualization, the freedom. You know, any authority that's over me, that's going to restrict my freedom. And the word of God is like, no, when you come under God's authority, because he's your designer, he's your creator, when you come under his authority, his word, that's true freedom. That's true joy. That's so much greater joy because finally you feel like this is who I am. I'm coming to understand who I am. How many of us have experienced that before? The word of God says forgive. And we sometimes it's so hard to forgive. You know, especially when people have wronged us. But as we learn to obey and trust God and we forgive others when they've wronged us, we experience a freedom. There's a joy that comes from it. See, God's design for us is not to restrict our freedom. It's to bring us into true freedom. But we got to trust him. That he knows what our lives are supposed to be like. Better than we know. I mean, who are we? How well do we run our lives? Not so well. Make a lot of mistakes. Especially some of us, myself included. But see, we need to know God, right? And you see, I'll just share one more, but in verse 8, the second line, it says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I love that. You know, you can tell a lot about a person through their eyes, can't you? I'm going to look at some of y'all's eyes right now, right? But you can see, you know, some people, there's a brightness in their eyes. There's a life. There's a light. You know, other times, we're going through seasons, our eyes are not so light. It looks like there's a cloud hanging over us. But see, the word of God says it's pure. It enlightens our eyes. Makes you sparkle with brightness, with light. People look at you and like, oh, you've been spending time with the Lord, haven't you? See, that's what God's word does. See, what I'm trying to encourage us here, and what this psalm is trying to show us is, see, we need God. He's what we desperately need in our lives. And the way he's revealed himself is through his word. And you know, when I tell you guys, when I encourage you guys, like, hey, let's meditate on his word. It's for your good because you need it. And it's not always easy, right? It means like we got to actually read it. First we got to find it. And then open it and read it and study it. Meditate on it, but as you do, you're getting to know God, the one who restores our souls, makes us skillful for life, brings joy to our hearts, enlightens our eyes. This is what God wants to bring us as we get to know him. So God is like the sun that we all need. But here's the thing. The sun is not only life-giving. The sun is also threatening because it's welcoming when you just experience it in doses and its gentle warmth. But man, when the sun is blazing, terrifying heat, unrelenting, maybe through a desert, and you're just being pounded by the heat of the sun, it starts to sap your life. It's a terrifying thing. In the same way, the word of God, the law of God, we need it. We desperately need it in our lives. But at the same time, it can be scorching, testing, like the sun. Just like verse 6, it says, there's nothing hidden from the sun's heat. In the same way, there's nothing hidden from God's word. Like the sun, it searches out every corner of our hearts, every hidden place where maybe no one else can see, but God sees. He's searching our hearts with his word. But what do? You see, no life can exist without the sun. In the same way, none of us can live spiritually. None of us can live without God and his word. So what does the psalmist do? Verse 12 to 14. He starts to look at the perfection, the holiness of God's word, and then he sees his imperfection. He sees how far he's falling short. and he starts to examine himself under God's law. He says, who can discern his errors? He admits that he doesn't know himself fully. He admits that there are many areas in his own life where he's gone astray. There's many weaknesses. There's a lot of flaws that he doesn't even know about himself. Do you know what this psalm is saying here? It says, all of us in this room, every one of you, there are areas in your life where there are sins, there's weaknesses, there are flaws, and you don't even know about it. You're not aware. There are hidden sins, hidden flaws. You see, if you think you know yourself, you don't really know yourself. Those of us who think, yeah, I know myself well, actually, that reveals that you actually don't. Because the psalmist is revealing, man, under God's word, under its all-searching light, there's so many areas of our lives, once they're exposed, reveals how far we fall short. None of us are that great. If you think you're great, meditate on this psalm. You'll be blessed. But you know, the psalmist, he confesses, you know, there's all kinds of flaws in my life. There's all kinds of areas in your life. I just want to share this. That maybe other people see. Maybe your family has seen. Maybe your spouse has seen. But you refuse to see about yourself. You're too blind. You're like, what? No, that's not true. Or you don't know. And that's what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God, His standards are so pure, so holy. Like none of us can stand. So the psalmist asks for forgiveness. He says, I don't know the depths of sin in my own heart. Who can discern his own errors? Forgive me. Declare me innocent from the hidden faults. But he makes a second prayer, a second request. He says, he asks for protection. He says, Lord, keep me back from presumptuous sins. That means I don't even know myself fully, but also I can't fully control myself fully. Like, without your grace, without your sustaining power, Lord, I'm going to do things that I know are wrong. So keep me back, God. Please help me. Keep me back from presumptuous sins. Let them not dominate my life. Don't let them be my master. Don't let them rule my life. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great. You see, there's this dependence on God. As he encounters God's holiness, his perfection, his purity through his word, it's creating this humility. See, anyone who's truly encountered God personally, it creates this humility in you because God is so perfect. In him, there is no flaw. There's no taint. There's no stain. And so when we look back on ourselves, it's like, God, have mercy. Forgive my sins. Keep me back from other sins. If that's not your response to God, if that's not your response to God's word, if you're not humbled before God, then I would suggest maybe you haven't gotten to know God that well. Because once you encounter him, it can be terrifying. It can be humbling. So what do we do? Is this where I'm going to end the sermon? Terror. Trembling. Well, that's true, but we've looked at God's revelation through nature. We looked at a greater revelation through his word. But let me ask you, where's the most perfect revelation of God? Where do we find the most perfect expression of who God is? Jesus. In the face of Jesus. You see, Jesus is the clearest and most perfect expression of who God is. The New Testament says he is the image of God. He is the exact imprint of his nature because Jesus is God. In him, we see what God is like. In Jesus, we see God's utter holiness, his loveliness, his beauty, his majesty, his compassion, his love, his meekness. Utterly holy, utterly beautiful in Jesus. He was absolutely perfect his whole life. He was never distorted. He was never out of tune. He lived a perfect life in obedience to God's law. But what happened? On the cross, Jesus' soul became distorted. He's crying out in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? What's he doing? Jesus, who was perfect in beauty, he lost his beauty on the cross. Jesus became ugly. He lost his glory. He lost his beauty for you and me. So that when we trust him, when we believe on him, we can receive his beauty. That in his love, in his grace, we can become beautiful. His soul was distorted. He was left for dead like a condemned criminal, hanging naked on that wooden stake. But he did it all so that we can become restored to who we were created to be, to who we were designed to be. The Word of God says we've all become twisted under the weight of sin. Every one of us. There's so many areas in our lives where we've become distorted, twisted, we've fallen short, we've gone astray. And says Jesus, the only perfect expression of God's law, man, he lost it for us. See, now through Jesus, our lives can be acceptable to God. See, that's what the last verse says, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You see, this is the climax of the psalm. This is where the whole psalm has been heading to. This is the climax of not only the psalm, this is the climax of our lives, of the universe. You see, God reveals himself through nature, but it's limited. He reveals himself evermore through his word, but we fall short. He's revealed himself perfectly through Jesus. And when we come to know Jesus through him, we reach the climax. It's not the universe. It's not nature in all its glory. It's a personal relationship with God. That you and I, as a flawed, sinful, fallen human being, that we can enter into a relationship with God. That God invites us to get to know him, to gaze upon his beauty, to receive his love, his forgiveness, to know his faithfulness, to be in a relationship with God. That's what he invites us into. God has revealed himself so that we can know him. We were created to know God. That's what we most desperately need in life. That's what the psalm is saying. And it's God is inviting us. You can know me. I'm what you need. You were created to know God, to see his heart-wrecking beauty, to be in a relationship with him. And when we do, then for the first time and finally, we shall know who we were created to be. When we see the face of God, we shall know why we exist. We shall know why we were created. We shall know what all of this was for, and that it was all worth it. C.S. Lewis said this, when we see the face of God, we shall know that we have always known it. We have found our end, the thing we were made for. When we see God's face, we will know that we've always known it. Like, this is what we were created for. To know God, to see his face, to see his beauty, to see his love, to know him. He invites us. How utterly amazing is that? He invites us to know him. He has revealed himself to us. We were made for God. We were made for dazzling and brilliant beauty. To gaze upon his face, to be satisfied with his beauty. God has made us for himself, nothing less. He is what we need. We're all searching for him, one way or another. And he has made himself known, especially through Jesus. Let us get to know him. Let us seek him. He's spoken. Do you know what joy, what light, what hope, what glory and beauty he opens us up to in relationship to him? Let's get to know him. Let's pursue him. That's what we're made for. All right, let's pray.